Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we are learning how to live in this life with a sense of joy and happiness and fulfillment. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon assures us that the way to achieve those things is not by the way that many people think, by pursuing wealth, by pursuing various kinds of sensual pleasures, by trying to achieve a lot of stuff by reason of hard work, or even if the accumulation of wealth and material goods isn't the main goal of your hard work. It's just the sense of working hard and feeling a sense of achievement in your work, that you have done your work well. Even that, more noble, of course, than some of the other things, but even that is not going to produce lasting satisfaction in life unless, and here's the big unless God is the goal in all of this. If the reason you're working hard is because you see yourself as doing this for the Lord, I am the Lord's servant. I work for my employer, and I'm working for him in a sense, but only a secondary sense. My main employer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm doing this for him. I'm working as if he were my boss, because he actually is. And if he's the one who's going to evaluate my work, because he actually is. And therefore, I'm doing my very best as unto the Lord. And if I'm doing that, then of course, I'm doing a superior job for my employer. Or if I'm the employer, if I'm the owner, of course, my business is going to do better if I'm going about it that way. And so it's not so much that my main goal is to make myself wealthy, but if in working hard like this for the Lord, he gives me wealth, that comes as kind of a byproduct of what I'm doing, then I can enjoy it as an extra, as something that does bring an extra layer of satisfaction to life, but that in itself won't bring satisfaction. The wealth won't do it. And even the sense of working hard and achieving something, if God's not the focus of that, that's not going to do it either. But if God is the reason behind all of that, if he's the one I'm trying to please, he's the one I'm serving, then all of the things that he gives along the way become blessings that just make my life on earth that much more joyful, because I know they came from him. They didn't come because I determined that I was going to have this or have that or experience this or experience that. That was my determination. No, my determination was to serve the Lord as my first priority, is my main goal in life. And look at what happened. Along the way, he gave me this. Along the way, he gave me that. And I can enjoy these things with a clear conscience, because I know I didn't set out to make that my goal in life. I set out to please God as my goal in life, and look what God gave me along the way. And as Paul tells us in the First Timothy epistle, that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. Meaning that these things that God gives, if we see them as gifts from God, not things that I have achieved, I have acquired, but as we see these things as gifts from God, and we're not living for the things, we're living for God, then we can take these things that God gives as extras and enjoy them with a clear conscience, because we know they were given to us as love gifts by our Heavenly Father. That's the way to live, and that's what the book of Ecclesiastes is teaching us. It's really a very, very good book with excellent directions for life. And that's why we're taking the time to study it. Well, I took a little longer till I came to the welcome on this Friday, July 31. Thank you for joining us. And many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Well, back to chapter 3. What we've learned is God appoints the circumstances of our lives, even the perplexing things of life. They come to us from God. He gives them to us for a reason. We need to accept them as from Him. And then we come to this interesting verse, verse 11 of chapter 3. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. What is this all about? Well, here's the perspective of eternity. We've been talking about living in the light of eternity is the key to a fulfilling life upon earth. And here's the perspective of eternity. God's appointments are good. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything good, fitting, appropriate. We recognize that as true because God is good. God is gracious. The character of God assures that this is true. So, everything that He appoints for our life is good. It's beautiful. It's fitting. It's proper. It's appropriate. It's suitable. Now, if we don't think so, then here's the point. Our thinking is wrong. We need an attitude adjustment. I'm convinced the biggest obstacle to fulfillment in life for many people is just having a wrong attitude. Sometimes what we call a bad attitude. But a bad attitude is just a wrong attitude. It's a wrong perspective on life. It can show up in many different forms: anger, ingratitude, disrespect of others, greed, covetousness, and on and on and on it goes. But all it is a wrong perspective on life because we're not viewing things from the standpoint of eternity. We're not viewing things from the standpoint that God is good, and therefore it's impossible for a good God to give me something that's bad. Isn't that what Christ taught His disciples? He said, if you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give, and depending on which of the Gospels you're reading this in, give good things to those that fear Him? Or in another account it says, give the Holy Spirit to those that fear Him. If you then being evil, what does that mean? That means that all of us are sinners. We are evil. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have gone away from the womb, speaking lies. In sin did our mothers conceive us. We are evil, that is, sinful. And here we are, fallen, sinful people, all inheritors of the sin of our father Adam. And yet, in our fallen condition, we know not to give bad gifts unto our children. We're not going to give a little child a sharp knife to play with. Doesn't matter how much he wants it. We're not going to give that to him. It's not good for him. We are wiser than he is, and we have his best interests at heart. So we're not going to do that. If in that same section Jesus said, if your son asks for bread, are you going to give him a snake? If he asks for an egg, are you going to give him a stone? Of course not. You're not going to give him something that will harm him. You're going to give him something that will help him. Well, if you then, being sinners, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is righteous, never sinned in any way? He's righteous, he's holy, he's just, he's omniscient, he knows everything. So how can he possibly give anything bad to one of his children? He can't, he won't. Now, when we stake that down and make that a foundational principle in life, and then evaluate everything in the light of that, we come to this conclusion. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And those things in our lives that we tend to look at and say, well, I don't see why that's beautiful. I don't see why how you could call that good. Attitude adjustment, attitude adjustment, attitude adjustment. Are you a child of God? Has your Heavenly Father given you something that's bad? Can he do that? He can't. He won't, but he can't. It's contrary to his character. So if it doesn't look good to me, then it's because I don't have the knowledge that he has. I don't have the perspective that he has. I may not see how this thing is good, but I can be sure that it is good. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Everything is good and fitting and appropriate if it comes from God. And God appoints the circumstances of our life, so they do come to us from God. God appoints the perplexities of life, so even these things that are hard to understand, they come to us from God. He has made everything beautiful in its time. So God's appointments are good. And God's revelation is revolutionary because verse 11 goes on to say, and he has put eternity in their hearts. He has put eternity. He has put forever in their hearts. He has caused us to understand that life continues beyond the grave, on into eternity, forever. That's one of the things that distinguishes men from animals. Animals don't know that. They don't have any sense of that. But most people have this sense that this life is not all there is. There's something else. There's something beyond. Even unconverted people seem to understand that. Now, some people try to talk themselves out of it, and they say, oh, man is just an animal, and the grave is the end. But most people have this sense that there really is more to life than this. They just don't know what it is and how, because they either don't know the revelation that comes from God in his word, or they've rejected it, haven't paid attention to it, and won't accept it. But God has put eternity, a sense of eternity, in their hearts, so that everybody has this sense that there's more to life than what I see in life. And the life doesn't end at the grave. It goes on forever. That's right. And that's why nothing on earth can produce complete satisfaction. Because this world is not all there is to life. In fact, it's only the smallest part of life. Life goes on eternally. We've got to understand that and live in the light of that knowledge. Until next week, Greg Bartman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.